The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking into after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Will he rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink'? Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do so? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" Amen. May the abundant grace of God be with all church members who are worshiping God in their homes and their workplaces through today's online worship service. Today is Easter Sunday. On the third day after the Lord became the sacrifice on the cross and shed the blood of redemption to forgive our sins and guilt, the Lord declared death to death and lived again for eternity. Easter Sunday is an important Christian holiday to commemorate the resurrection of Christ and to refresh why we have to live as Christians. Without the resurrection of the Lord, our faith would be meaningless. And if what we hope for is for the life on earth, then we would be the most pitiful people among all. However, because the Lord conquered death and has risen, we can enjoy eternal lives in the Lord, unfettered in any situation, and pursue eternal truth that transcends death. There is a popular folk song titled "The Big Life," which begins with the lyrics, "Since I was born, kicking my way out, what is there to be afraid of? Even if I'm broken and shattered, let me go for it." The song also has lyrics such as, "You only die once, not twice. Come for me, all of you. My guts don't come second to others. If you take out a sword, you should make a move. It doesn't matter if I'm a pumpkin, I'll risk my life. You only die once, not twice," is the phrase spoken as we walk courageously in a fearful and difficult situation, especially used to emphasize the mind of a soldier. But the Bible really says you die twice. To be concise, it says, if you're born once, you die twice. And if you're born twice, you die once. After our physical death, there is eternal death. And that death is not preventable if you are not born again through Jesus Christ. If you are not born again, then you face death. For us to not taste eternal death and enjoy eternal life, Jesus Christ has risen. God told Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 to 58, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Everyone faces the first death. No one is exempt from that. But what people really have to fear is not the first death, but the second death, the eternal death. Apostle Paul says that death is like the sting, and the sting is actually sin. Sin is like the sting that leads to eternal death. So people fear death. But the one who gives us the victory over death is Jesus Christ, our Lord, because the Lord won against death. So we can live with hope all the time in our life places through the Lord, who gives us eternal victory. That Lord, who is our strength, gives meaning to our lives and validates our lives to have eternal values. Today's scripture offers proper guidance on how we can serve the Lord, who allows our lives to be meaningful, and how Christians should live. In verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Jesus said that it is not possible to not have things that cause people to stumble, but woe to anyone through whom they cause others to stumble. In other words, he is warning us to not be the assailant. As we live on this earth, there are times we spit our words in anger without thinking much. We spit out those words that we would not have spoken if we had given it another thought, and break the other person's heart. This happens often, especially among family members. God grants us our family to love and serve one another in a special relationship, but there are so many families that are more like enemies than families. We have to take the word of God with somber gravity. And if we think that our words or actions pain the other person, then we need to ask earnestly for forgiveness. This is the proper attitude. On the other hand, we may become victims due to others' words or deeds. So we may be unable to sleep due to anger or have difficulty living out daily lives. At that moment, the Lord tells us to forgive, not just once or twice, but even seven times per day when the person who wronged you comes and says, "I repent," we should forgive him. We may be resentful at heart. How can we do so? When the disciples heard the command, they also seemed to have been startled. So they asked the Lord, "Increase our faith." They also realized that they cannot forgive with their own strength. When the Lord heard their cry, Jesus replied in verse 6, he replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. When I was in high school and in college, I went up to the mountain to pray a number of times per year. At the time, there was a considerable number of people who went up the mountain to pray. Some went straight up to a particular place in the mountain, and others went to a small prayer house in the mountains with a small bag and prayed on top of a cushion outside. At the time, we used to say, "I'm going to pull out a pine tree," to mean that we are going up to the mountain to pray. Soon after I had met Jesus personally, fervent with faith in high school, I prayed while holding on to the tree. "God, you said that with faith as small as a mustard seed, you can uproot a mulberry tree. Please show me that." After praying earnestly like so, I pulled the tree with all my strength. My back hurt so much, and I was disappointed, thinking that my faith must be smaller than a mustard seed. This is probably not only my story, but a situation that some of those who went up to the mountain may have experienced. This expression is a hyperbole highlighting that faith is of that importance. The scripture testified in the Gospel of Matthew as, "He replied, 'Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. Nothing will be impossible for you.'" But while some prayed for the tree to be uprooted, and as they pulled the tree, not many would have prayed, "Please move this mountain," even though these two verses mean the same thing. There's the scripture in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" The sawdust also means the rice husk or the straw, and the plank indicates the column or the rafters. I have never met a person who asked, "Is there really a column or a rafter in my eye?" during the past 20-something years of my pastorship. Whoever reads this verse thinks, "Yes, I have many faults," because they know it is a hyperbole. So you should not foolishly attempt to pull out a tree after reading verse 6. While the mustard seed is really small, it grows to be a tree that is 100 or 1,000 times bigger because there's life in it. But if the seed is lifeless, it cannot grow even if it is a big seed. As time goes on, it will actually let out a bad stench. So it is not the size of the seed that is important, but the life in it. And faith, similarly, also results in totally different fruit based on whether you have Jesus Christ in your hearts, or worldly desires, or secular values in your hearts. If you embrace Jesus Christ and faith, you will bear the fruit of the Spirit. But if you embrace your desires or worldly values, then the works of the flesh will be produced. As time passes, the difference becomes even more conspicuous. After he After the Lord talked about the faith of the mustard seed, the Lord provides a detailed example in verses 7 through 9. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant, when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? The Lord explained what it means to have faith through the relationship between the servant and his master. There is a farmer that has one slave. Since he doesn't have many slaves and only one, the farm must not be that big in size. The servant not only harvests the farm and raises livestock, but he also takes care of the household needs and the master's meals. At the time, servants usually ended up becoming a slave because they owed big debts. So no matter how much the servant worked or how well he worked, the servant did not hear thanks or receive compensation since the master had already paid for him. So the master never prepared a dinner, regardless of whether he worked all day in the field and cared for the livestock. Even if he prepared the master's meal, he could not eat with the master. The servant knew the social norms expected of him, so he carried out his vocation and did all the work that was asked of him, and did not expect beyond that. He, of course, could not even think of getting wages, since his lifetime income was included in the payment for himself. You're also being beings that fell to Satan due to the sins we have committed and faced eternal death. But Jesus bought us with his blood. Our faith starts there by admitting that. Just as the servant offers himself entirely to the master who bought him, we also focus our entire life to the Lord who saved us. That is faith. The Lord actually did not deliver us to slave away. God accepted us sinners as his children. So we live on earth as the children of God. But we should not forget that we were doomed to die twice as we were slaves to sin from the beginning. In verse 10, it says, so you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. The Lord said this not to explain how the servant lived back then, but to tell us what should be the attitude of people who were called by the Lord. A person of good faith is a person who does their best at the work given to him by the Lord. Whether the work is visible to others or hidden from anyone, one needs to diligently carry out the work. We are interested and the work that we can show off ourselves and can easily be recognized by others after completion. So we are used to others' praises, but once you become used to people's compliments and praises, then you cannot experience the embrace of God. When Christians become used to the encouragement from God and treated as the food of faith, then they can become healthier Christians. This is the mystery of faith and the secret between God and me. The word servant in verse 10 is doulos in Greek, and it means slave. This word comes from to chain, to hold. At the time, slaves were chained while they waited for masters who would buy them. After someone pays for them, they are no longer in metal chains, but chained to their master. There cannot be a self-envisioned plan to such a slave. Apostle Paul had considerable things to brag as a Jew. He was an Orthodox Jew who was circumcised only after 8 days since his birth. And even though he was born in a foreign area, Tarsus, he was raised up in a family and a school community that spoke and wrote Hebrew. So he spoke Greek and Hebrew. Moreover, he belonged to the Pharisees, who regarded learning and following the law as the most important value. So he was diligent in learning the law and flawless according to the righteousness of the law. Not only that, more than half of the 27 chapters of the New Testament are letters written by him, and most of the church in the New Testament were founded by him. Such Paul refers to himself in Romans chapter 1 verse 1 like so: Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Paul confesses that he is the servant, a slave of Jesus Christ, and was proud to be. And he had only the cross of Jesus Christ to show. But if he had to show, he was proud of his weaknesses. The more he realized how weak he is, he could demonstrate how strong Jesus Christ is, his strength. Apostle Paul is not the only one. Among the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, Peter was considered to be the best. So in the Gospels, he is shown to be with Jesus. Moreover, a church was founded after the Holy Spirit came on the Pentecost in the Gospel of Acts, and Peter took on the main role. He also performed many miracles. When he sent a letter to the Christians in Anatolia, he introduced himself in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Peter also used the word doulos, the slave, to describe himself because there was no other word that better demonstrate his status. Jesus' disciples were not the only people that described themselves as so. Jesus was born through Mary through the Holy Spirit, but there were four sons and daughters between Joseph and Mary. They could not admit their brother, who had lived together for 20-30 years, as the Savior. But after they met the risen Lord, they could no longer reject him. The first among the brothers was James, who was the main pastor for the first church in Jerusalem. When he sent a letter to some Christians, he introduced himself in James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. He also did not hesitate to call himself as a servant of God. He must have wanted to say that he was the brother of Jesus and lived with him for more than 20 years. But after personally meeting with Jesus as Christ, not as his brother, his past no longer mattered, and describing himself as the slave of Jesus was the most appropriate. Likewise, people of faith, people who are called by the Lord, did not hesitate to call themselves as the servant after doing all they were asked to do. They just thought they had done what was asked of them. There is a movie titled The Forbidden Dream, which is about King Sejong and a scientist of Joseon Dynasty, Jang Yong-sil. The movie is about the dreams of the two men revolving an accident of the king's sea carriage is broken, and further describes the story of the sundial and the water clock invented by Jang Yong-sil and the Hangul Korean characters created by King Sejong. At the end of the movie, the two men have a conversation. Jang Yong-sil says, "My lord, I honestly thought you, my lord, had forgotten about me." Sejong says, "How could I forget you?" Yong-sil, "Did you finally finish the alphabet you longed to create?" Sejong, "I named it Jeongeum, correct pronunciation, but I am regretting doing so for the fear of losing you." Yong-sil, "No, never no. You said that you would have all the people read and write." Sejong, "Yong-sil, how about your dream?" Sejong, "Yong-sil, I think I now have fulfilled all my dreams." Sejong, "You have made the time of Joseon and opened the sky of Joseon. You have fulfilled my dreams." Yong-sil, "No, if the king had not pursued those dreams, how could I have done so?" King Sejong, "No, if you had not made it, how will people know my dream?" Let's think about the conversation between God and Jesus on the third day after he died on the cross and lived again. The Holy Son, "Father, honestly, when I cried, 'Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,' I thought you had forgotten about me." Father God, "How could I give up my only son?" The Holy Son, "Father, did you complete the salvation that you had earned for? Father God, I called it eternal life, but my heart breaks that my only son had to bear the cross for it. Only son, no. Now everyone has a path to earn eternal life. Now I have done all I needed to do. Father God, my son, you have done all I have asked you to do. You have completed the salvation. Holy Son, no. If you had not sent me to the world, how could I have shed blood on the cross and resurrected to complete the salvation? Father God, no. If you had not done all that you had been commanded, who would have known what our plans for salvation was? We were all doomed to die twice. But through the Lord who declared death to death and resurrected to accomplish all he was commanded, we do not have to die twice and earn eternal life. Now we are the servants of the Lord who have the responsibility and duty to carry out what God has told us. When we offer everything we will, our knowledge and talent, and even our lives, it'll be incomparable to the hope of eternal life and resurrection that we have received. The Lord who has conquered death and resurrected is our strength and is with us now. The Lord promised, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of age." So now, as we live faithfully as the servant of the Lord in our life places, we will become witnesses of resurrection by introducing people who are doomed to die twice to the Lord. And when we complete everything we are commanded and the journey ahead of us, and later stand in front of the Lord, let us confess, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Let us pray. Father God, because COVID-19, we are unable to worship together at church, even on Easter Sunday, and instead we are worshiping online at our homes and in our workplaces. Even if the fear of COVID-19 infection and the sting of death wear us down, thank you, resurrection to Jesus, for being with us so that we can have hope. Thank you for conquering death so that we who deserve to die twice can now live eternally. May we walk with the risen Jesus every day. People who are connected to the Lord and take the Lord as their master were proud to call themselves as the servant of the Lord. May we not forget that we are the servant of the Lord as well, and may be our greatest joy to do what is asked of us. May we not fall into the error of serving God and people to show off or exalt ourselves. And when such temptation falls upon us, may we strongly refuse it and give us the courage to say, that is not what the Lord wants. As we live faithfully as the servant of the Lord, wherever we are in our life places, may we live as witnesses of resurrection, connecting those who are doomed to die twice to the Lord so that they can have eternal lives as well. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.